here in the midst of your people. We thank you for the word we've heard, the prayer, the sharing, the exhortation, the worship. God, you are so good to your people. So good to come and to minister to us. We pray that you continue your ministry now. We ask our little ones to receive a blessing from you in class. Be with the teachers, Lord. Be with us here. Build us up in the faith so that we can be a greater witness for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. If your kids are in class, go ahead and dismiss them. We're going to, you're probably going to have about, just let the teachers know, about maybe 25 minutes for your class. So just keep that in mind. I'm going to try to not go too long today. While they're going out, open your Bibles to Galatians 5. You hear that hum? You know what that is? It's the power of God. He's here. Amen? When he comes, you get that hum going. Yeah. Galatians 5. It's always striking to me how when the Lord's working, he just providentially puts things together. And it just so happens that as we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, that the next fruit that we're going to talk about is the fruit of long-suffering. And I just think it's so appropriate in light of the, you know, of people facing various challenges. Let's look at Galatians 5. It says, the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, I shared earlier about how we need to look at our problems. We need to look at them through the lens of God, amen? Because God's the solution. God's got an answer. God's our provider. We look at things through God. And as I've been thinking about this, you know, sometimes the problems we have are the problems we create. And sometimes the greater problem isn't the problem, it's our response to the problem. You know what I mean? And so God has given us not just answers in the sense of, well, God's just going to fix this situation. God gives us something on the inside to make us respond differently to the situation. Okay? And that's his Holy Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we find that certain problems don't arise. As we walk in the Spirit, yes, we may confront problems, but we have victory over those problems because we're walking in the power of God's Spirit. As I said a few weeks ago when I was talking about this passage, the normal Christian life is the victorious Christian life. That's normal. Now you're thinking, oh, Pastor, don't say that because I don't feel victorious. You're making me feel like a failure. I'm not trying to make you feel like a failure. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to give you hope. You hearing me? Okay? You say, well gee, I don't feel like I'm walking in that victory. Okay, well, now you're being a realist. Okay? You're assessing the problem. Okay, why is this? Why am I, okay, I'm supposed to have this fruit in my life and I'm not seeing much of it. Okay, good. Take an honest assessment. Take an evaluation. What's the problem? Well, I don't have long suffering, or I don't have a lot of love, I don't have a lot of joy, I don't have peace, I worry. Okay, well, you're not manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. So you're honestly evaluating the problem, and so now you have to ask yourself, why is this? What's going on? Am I neglecting my Bible? Am I neglecting prayer? Am I neglecting worship? Am I neglecting fellowship? Am I harboring sin? Am I holding grudges? What's going on? Honestly evaluate. Okay? This discussion about the fruit of the Spirit is not about reading things like this in your Bible and feeling bad and then just going on with your life. That's not what this is. This is God saying, I've called you to this and you can walk in this because I've given you the power to do it. Okay? I've given you the power to do it. And so part of growing and maturing is learning how to tap into that power. Okay? Learning how to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So Paul is talking here about the next one he mentions that we need to look at is long suffering. And as I said before, long suffering means you suffer long, right? Okay. And one of the things about long suffering is it implies this idea of time. Growth takes time. Growth takes time. Now, when I got saved, that was one that I think there were still dinosaurs. When I got saved, long time ago, my life changed dramatically. I was a bad, bad, bad dude. And God entered my life, changed me, and some things changed immediately. And it was pretty miraculous. You know what I'm saying? Some of you have experienced that. Some of you came to the Lord as an adult. But I struggle with other things. And I've struggled with other things throughout my whole life. And everybody has areas of struggle. Okay? Sanctification takes time. It takes time to become mature. And I think sometimes you mistake, at least I think I did, when I got saved, God worked in my life and he made these changes and I was, you know, on fire and on cloud nine, and people saw that and said, well, gee, he must have his act together. I didn't have my act together. God was just being gracious to me because I was a baby Christian. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have my act together. I had so much to learn. I had so many trials to go through. I had so much maturing to do as a Christian. But it takes time. Maturity is not something you can take in a pill. You can't get a shot. Oh, I'm going to go get my maturity shot today. Okay. Now, you can come to church and you can get an encouragement shot, right? You can get an instruction shot or an edification shot. And yeah, awesome, great. But man, you walk this thing out day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, right? And you learn a little more, you struggle a little more, you grow a little more, become more like Jesus. It is a lifelong process. And the scripture that someone prayed, we set our eyes on Jesus, the author. Well, that's the beginning. And then the perfecter of our... In other words, there's a beginning and there's an end. And there's a long in between. Okay? And it's called the Christian life. The big word is progressive sanctification. And it is progressive. It takes time. And so, as you go on in the Christian life, you ought to be more conformed to the image of Jesus today than you were a year ago. And you should, a year from now, you should be more conformed than you were today. Because you're going onward. You're moving forward. You are being conformed by the power of the Spirit in your life. And so it takes time. Go to Exodus 24. I want to show you something here. It says in verse, where do we want to start? This is where God is basically establishing the covenant with Israel. And he's giving them instructions about a lot of things, okay? And he's going to give them instructions about the tabernacle and the testimony and the law and all this. And so it says here in chapter 24, verse 9, it says, then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. So when it says they saw God, they didn't literally see God. They saw this, it's called a theophany, this manifestation of God's presence, okay? It says, verse 11, but on the nobles of the children of Israel he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. Then, notice verse 12, the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. And I will give you tablets of stone, and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. In other words, Moses said, listen, I'm going to go spend some time with God. If you got a problem, take it to one of these guys. I cannot be disturbed right now. That's what he was saying. Don't come and try to fetch me out of the mountain. Go to them. I'm going to God. Then Moses went into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. So he goes, you can see the mountain, apparently, when he's ascending. He's climbing up the mountain. He can see the mountain. And then he gets up there, and all of a sudden, this cloud comes down and hovers over the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Notice this. Moses goes up to the mountain, right? The cloud comes down, and it says that God spoke to Moses, but it says God spoke to Moses on the seventh day. So what did he do for 6 days? Answer email? Play Nintendo? I mean, no, I'm serious. Think about this. He goes up. God says, come up here. I want to talk to you. He comes up, and then God doesn't say anything. Day one. Day two. Right? Then on the seventh day, God speaks. So Moses had to wait. You're thinking, well, I could wait a week for an answer. Yeah, but this is waiting. This isn't going to work and coming home and praying for 10 minutes waiting. This is intensive, focused waiting for 6 days in a row. Right? Some of us can't wait 5 minutes. And I actually have a problem with patience. Anybody that knows me? I'm not good at this one. I don't like lines. You get what I'm saying? I don't like standing in line. I don't like waiting. I just want to go and get my thing done and go on with my life. I don't like waiting. I don't like traffic. I don't like lines. Ah. 6 days, he waits. He waits. Now, God kind of warned him, because if you notice, he says, if you go back a little bit, in verse 12, it says, when the Lord said to Moses, he says, come up to me on the mountain and do what? Mine says be there or stay there. Come up to the mountain and just stay there. Just be there. Just come and be in my presence. This waiting, I believe, text doesn't say it, so here's a little speculation. But I believe what we've got here is the waiting which is preparatory to revelation. You hearing me? The waiting that precedes the speaking. I remember one time I was at home reading my Bible, and I was reading the book of James, and I distinctly remember that. And I'm reading, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, pray. So I said, well, I don't want to pray. I didn't want to pray. I wanted to read my Bible. Okay? I didn't want to pray. I wanted to read my Bible. So I kept on reading my Bible. And the Holy Spirit said, pray. Okay, I'll pray. But I didn't want to pray. I didn't have anything on my mind to pray about. It wasn't, you know, sometimes you pray because, like, man, I got to really pray about this situation. Whew, I need to pray. I didn't have anything I wanted to pray about. I wanted to read my Bible. So anyway, I shut the Bible, bowed my head, and I sat there. And I'm thinking, this is stupid. I'm serious. I'm like, what am I doing this for? Because I don't have anything on my mind to pray for. So, that's stupid. Got my Bible out. Continue to read James. Holy Spirit said, pray. Okay. And I don't know how long I was like this. I mean, literally. I mean, it was probably a long time. And I'm bowed there. In my heart, of course. I wasn't on my knees, but I was at a desk. But the thing was, and I was a fairly young Christian at the time, so God was teaching me his ways, right? I could sense God's presence, okay? I didn't have anything on my mind I really wanted to pray about. But I knew I was in the presence of God. I knew at that moment I was meeting him. You understand? Anybody want to witness? Okay. So this is what happened to Moses. God said, come up here. And the cloud comes down. And he's just in God's presence. He wasn't talking. God wasn't talking. He was in God's presence. This is really foreign to our society, isn't it? And like, we have daytimers and we pencil in quiet time. I mean, we do. I get that. I'm busy. I got a million things to do. I've got a to-do list that would you die if you looked at it. Okay, I get that. But you know what I did yesterday? I spent about 4 hours reading my Bible and praying. Is that okay with you? No, you didn't answer my email. I'm sorry. You know what? I love you guys, but let me tell you something. If I don't spend time with God, I can't do you any good. And that's the truth. That is the simple truth. So give me a little grace, because I need God's grace. And I only find it in His presence. Okay? And you talk about facing problems. Sometimes what we need isn't an answer. We need to just know that God is with us. And that's all. And then you can face anything. You know what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? I mean, it's amazing to me how I can be facing a difficulty, and then I go and I spend time with the Lord. And I mean time. I mean reading and praying for hours. And then the situation hasn't changed at all, but my whole perspective is different. Totally different. I may not even have an answer yet, but I'm different in how I relate to that situation or that person or that problem. So, you want to hear the end of that story I was telling you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, because I think it illustrates what was going on with Moses. So, well, let me talk about Moses a little more. So Moses goes up, right? I don't know. I've got so many markers. I don't know which one is. None of them. Okay. Where were we? Okay. So, look at this. This is really, really sweet. So Moses goes up. We're in Exodus 24, right? It says, on the seventh day, the end of verse 16, on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now, they're down, they watch them go up the mountain, and then they see this cloud come down, and they're like, something's going on up there, okay? Something's happening. We don't know what's going on, but something's happening. It says, so Moses, verse 18, Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. So it's like he apparently went up so far, the cloud comes down, and he waited for 6 days. And then God said, he calls him up more. Okay? Then he ascends more. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And then the Lord spoke to Moses. That took long suffering, did it not? I mean, it would have been very easy for Moses to say, you know what, after the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, I must have misunderstood what he said. I'm going back down. Right? People need me down there. People have problems. I'm going back down. But he waited. He was patient. And then God spoke to him. And man, we want answers quick. I want solutions right away. But sometimes God delays, he waits, because he's calling us up into the mountain. Give me a witness. He's calling us into the mountain. As we shared earlier, he wants us to get our eyes off the problem and on him. The problems are not at the foot of the mountain. The answer is at the top of the mountain. And God says, come. Come. So I'm praying, right? Let's go back. Or I'm poised. I'll put it this way. I'm poised in an attitude of prayer. I actually wasn't praying because I didn't know what to say. And I waited, I don't know, I mean, I didn't wait 40 days. But I waited a long time. To me, it was like eternity, you know what I mean? Yeah, 2 minutes. For some of us, 2 minutes is like an eternity. I mean, you ever been in a prayer meeting, and if there's silence for 10 seconds, somebody's got to pray just to fill up the vacuum? We can't have silence. So I'm in this posture prayer, and I'm in the Lord's presence, and he began to speak to me. And he said, pray for so-and-so. And I began to pray for them. And as I prayed for them, he said, pray for them. When I say said, you do understand, I'm not talking about an audible voice, right? That's not, it's you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's really communicating, but it's not like, you know, an audible word that you'd write down. But you know he's communicating. So he wanted me to pray for this person. And I began to pray for them. And then he said, pray for them because they're witnessing right now, at this very moment. And you need to pray for them. And I began to pray for them. And as I prayed for them, the coolest thing was that I got a picture, okay? And in my mind, I saw this individual who I was praying for witnessing to this other individual who I didn't know. And not only did I see it in my mind, I saw, I'm praying and I see this girl, actually it was a girl I was going out with at the time. She's witnessing to someone and I'm praying for her. And I see, and I, in my mind, I see somebody walk up in between the two of them. And I knew God was saying, pray that person away. Okay, get them out of there. They're a problem. They're a distraction. Pray them away. And so I prayed. And I prayed them away. Okay? And I had prayed a long time. I mean, this was a kind of a long thing. So I did that. Then at some point, I quit praying. And I guess I read my Bible. And it was kind of a cool thing, you know? Kind of a cool experience. About an hour later, my phone rings. And it's my girlfriend. She said, guess what I've been doing? I said, let me tell you what you've been doing. I said, you've been witnessing. How did you know? I said, not only have you been witnessing, I can tell you where you were sitting. Because I saw it all in my mind. I said, you were sitting in the bar of the restaurant where you were. She said, how did you know? I said, you were sitting in this chair, and the guy you were witnessing to was two chairs away on your right side. How did you know? When you were witnessing, somebody walked in and tried to interrupt, but then they left. How did you know? And everything I had seen was exactly as it came to pass. Spooky, isn't it? What's the point of the story? To say, ooh, that guy's kind of... The waiting was preparatory to the knowing. Okay? And I could have blown that off. I could say, no, I'm going to read my Bible. Or I could have waited in prayer and said, you know, this is stupid. I don't have anything to pray for. Or I could have got out a little prayer list and pray for mommy, pray for daddy, pray for Anna. You know. But I waited and I waited and I waited. And when I waited, God spoke. Okay? And a soul was saved because I waited. We need to slow down. You hearing me? We need to take a deep breath. We need to open our Bibles. We need to spend time with Jesus, okay? Because people are running frantically because the economy is collapsing, their personal finances are stressed out, they're having problems in relationships, they're concerned about their church, they're concerned about their families, they're concerned about the church, and people are getting frantic. And I don't mean just people here, I mean our culture. People are getting frantic, and there's fear everywhere, right? You can sense it. We need. I got a witness there. Let me use this as an illustration. That's how we need to cry out to God. We're just going to lay it out, God. Here's the truth. You need to go up to the mountain. And that means you got to slow down and you got to take, this takes time. Okay. It's going to take discipline. part of this virtue of long-suffering is the virtue of being disciplined. Not reacting, not responding, not freaking out, but being focused, being disciplined, and waiting. Waiting on God. Okay. David said in Psalms, I think it's 130, I don't recall, he says, I wait for you as the watchman waits for the morning. Well, if you think about what he's saying, if the sun goes down at let's say in the summer at almost 9 o'clock and it comes back up at 6, he's waited 9 hours. And he says in some of the Psalms, I waited for you all night. I prayed to you all night. I sang to you all night. That's not poetic license. He means I did that all night. So, you know, the cultivation of the fruit of the Spirit in our life is not something we get through a few sermons. It's not through reading a book on it. It's through the discipline of spending time with God. In His presence, He shapes our character. He transforms us. In His providence, He puts us in these difficult trials because those trials are part of the character development that He gives us. Are you hearing me? I mean, it's really true. We all know. It's one of those truisms in the Christian life. We grow the most through trials. Right? Do you know that? Yes. Say yes. So it's true. But man, don't you hate growing? I mean, don't you hate the trials? I mean, be honest. Of course you do. So it's like we know it, but we don't like it. I understand that. I don't like it either. I like comfort. I heard on the news this morning that since it's Super Bowl Sunday, that today Americans will consume 60 million pounds of potato chips. £30 million of popcorn. Which you could stretch around the earth 5.5 times. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be part of that 30 million potato chips. Okay? So, you know, it's great to be an American, amen? The point is, that's us. That's our culture. That's what we live, that's what we breathe, that's how we're trained. And the Christian life is, yeah, you can enjoy all that. I'm going to enjoy the game today and eat a bunch of chips and everything. But you don't become like Jesus eating potato chips. Okay, you become like Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit really imparting these things into your life. But it's going to take you time. Okay? It's going to take you time. I was reading in Psalms. I don't even know if I can find it because I wasn't going to share it. Let me see if I can find it real quick. The verse I've read many times, but something in it really jumped out at me. Where was I yesterday? In Psalm 78. You can go there if you want. Psalm 78. This is a great psalm, man. Let's just start at verse 1. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which you have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. And we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and He appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, and they might arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. So it's talking about a multi-generational task. You talk about long-suffering, right? I mean, here the vision is not only your life, but your children and your grandchildren. That's seeing time in a more of a biblical view, right? Just a word to parents. You know, some of you are like freaking out because your kids are having some problems. You need to take a deep breath. Okay? Let me tell you what I think some of us do, and I'm not preaching picking on anybody individually because I do it too. Our standards are so high, if we're Bible Christians, our standards are so high that you do understand our kids are never going to meet them. Come on now, think about it. Okay? So, you know, what happens in some of our homes, our kids get home 10 minutes late. All right, that's it. You're done. You're a bad kid. I never came home at night. You know, I'll jump over my one daughter. What are you doing drinking an energy drink? It's not good for you. I drink two six packs of beer on the weekend. Get what I'm saying? I mean, let's put this stuff in perspective. I'm not saying lower the standard. The standard's the standard. I didn't create it. God did. Amen. Here it is. But I'm talking about applying the standard with grace, because I've told people this. I'm glad I'm not growing up in this church. I'm being honest. Courting? Oh my gosh. Can you imagine going to someone's dad when you're 17 or 18? I mean, think about it. Think about where you were when you were 16 or 17. And then think about where your kids are at. Now, some of you may be raised in Christian homes and you had a good past. I didn't. And you know, I would take the young people in this church and pit them against any group of young people in this world. I know that they have their flaws. I know some of them are dealing with sin. I know. I get that. But I'm telling you, we have got to see, we've got to put this stuff in perspective. We have a great, great group of young people in this church, young adults and teenagers, and they're in different places, different parts of their journey. Some of them are real strong right now. Some of them are struggling. You know what? A year from now, it could be just reversed. The struggling ones are strong, and the strong ones, because that's the way it works, okay? But you know what? They're on the path. And the question isn't so much where are you in the journey, it's are you on the journey? Which it's which road are you on, you know? And a lot of our kids they're on the right road. They really are. I believe that. And they're going in the right direction. Maybe not fast enough for you. Maybe they, you know, keep on, you know, bumping the but they're generally speaking, they're on the right road. And we need to affirm our kids and acknowledge every good thing we see in them. Every good thing, it's a work of God in them. Affirm the gifts of God in your children, okay? Yes, the standard's a standard. I'm not saying compromise, all right? But man, don't discourage them. Don't make them lose heart. Don't make them feel like a failure. And you know, all I have to do is take a couple minutes and think about where I was at when I was a teenager. Whew, what a mess. The seven, that they set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and may not be like their fathers. So he's saying we want to teach our children and our children's children to not be like our grandfather, their grandfather. Yikes. I mean, think about it. Don't be like my daddy. I can actually say that. Don't be like my dad was. Not to be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and his spirit was not faithful to God. And this is the verse that struck me. And the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. And the reason that jumped out is because I had been reading the passage in Chronicles, right, about this battle. In Chronicles, Jehoshaphat says, we're outnumbered. We don't know what to do. They go to battle. They set the musicians in front, which means the people without weapons, right? Here, the people with weapons turned their back and walked away. And it really struck me. They're armed for battle. They're carrying their bows, but they didn't persevere, and they turned back. You're going to have challenges, but the Holy Spirit of God will infuse into your life the fruit of long-suffering. He will do this for you. You got to spend time with Him. You got to go up to the mountaintop. That means you got to slow down. It's going to take some time. And if we want to see this fruit in our lives, which we can all have, we find it not by a technique. We find it out of relationship with God and one another. That's where we find it. So that's my exhortation. Be patient. Wait on God. Seek God and wait on God. And you can have this beautiful fruit in your life. Let's stand together and pray. Apologize for going long. Lord, we thank You that You're such a good God. And we thank You that You are here today ministering to us through the word and the worship, through the prayer. Lord, the things that we've received today, I pray that that they would just be really be could just become part of the fiber of our lives. And I pray for each one of us, Lord. I know we're just all so busy. I pray for each one of us to really take an honest look at our lives, and that we would purpose, to spend more time with You. That we would purpose to go up the mountain. And if You want us to wait, that we would purpose to just wait. And I thank You when we wait, You speak. And I believe You want to speak blessings to Your people. You want to give them answers, solutions. I think You want to communicate Your love to them. So God, make these things come to pass for Your glory and the good of Your church. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.